Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about how many of us have enjoyed traveling across the country and sharing the beauty of our national parks that were created by Woodrow Wilson in 1916 and earlier by Abraham Lincoln, and how this is such a wonderful journey. And many years ago, my husband changed professions, and before embarking on his new profession, we made the decision to visit the national parks across the country. We camped in Yellowstone Park using a tent that my husband was able to get up. And I remember getting my charcoal stove ready. And as I was doing this, trying to get it going because I'd never cooked on the stove, a couple of children came over and they said, "My mommy and daddy have caught these fresh trout and they want you to have them for your dinner." And I looked at the fish and I said, "Oh," and I didn't know how to do this gently. I said, "Oh, thank you so much. Would you please tell your mommy and daddy, I don't know how to use the cooking stove yet." And do you know what they did? They went back to their mommy and daddy and came back with cooked fish, all ready for our dinner. That's going the national park route. We camped in Yellowstone Park, the Grand Tetons, as well as in Mount Rainier National Park in the state of Washington. I remember Mount Rainier being so beautiful that it brought me to tears. However, we talk tonight about how our national parks are dying, because it appears that Congress is willing to let our national parks die by shifting control to individual states where they might be sold or licensed to the highest bidder to be held developed for oil, gas, timber, and other industries. Is this something we want to let happen? My guest this evening is Donald Miles, a semi-retired land use and environmental law attorney who is the elected chairperson of the Lehigh Valley Sierra Club. He is also an elected delegate to the board of the directors of the Pennsylvania Sierra Club, and he is on the board of directors of WDIY. It is a pleasure to welcome Donald Miles to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY.
Thank you, Ellie. On behalf of the Sierra Club and myself, thank you for having me on your show. I've listened to you many times. I am a volunteer broadcaster at WDIY, and although I'll be speaking for the Sierra Club, I will not be speaking on behalf of WDIY.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you made that differentiation. So how is the Sierra Club involved in this problem with the national parks? I say problem because I never really considered a problem. I thought it was there just for us to enjoy. But from what I'm hearing now, Don, it appears maybe these wonderful environmental beauties that we have in our country might be threatened, and none of us really are aware of it.
Well, the Sierra Club was involved in the national parks almost from the very beginning. The Sierra Club was founded in 1892 by legendary explorer and conservationist John Muir. And Mr. Muir, in 1903, took President Theodore Roosevelt camping in the Yosemite Valley and persuaded TR to create Yosemite National Park in 1906, which became our second national park. As you mentioned, our first national park was Yellowstone, created by Abraham Lincoln, and that was Yellowstone National Park. The Sierra Club, over the last 100 years, has saved over 250 million acres of wildlands. It also conducts 20,000 outings each year. Today, the Sierra Club is the oldest and largest grassroots environmental organization with over 3 million members and supporters. Our national parks were called by filmmaker Ken Burns in his recent TV series, America's Best Idea. There are 60 of them in 28 states. Sadly, none are in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, but 331 million people visited the national parks and national monuments last year. Besides the national parks, there are 117 national monuments, 140 national historic sites, and 90 military parks.
Well, you know, and it is a wonderful venue because it's an inexpensive way to see our national treasures and to experience our environment. I know that my husband and I went rafting in Yellowstone Park, and I know that we were very cautious about the bears, and the guides told us to make sure not to have any food in our tent so that the bears would not feel comfortable in coming into our tent exploring. It was a magnificent journey. And what I'm concerned about is that I wonder if our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will have the same opportunity to appreciate the magnificent wonders of our country as we experienced and visiting the national parks. And from what I'm hearing, Don, there's something going on that is making this really unsure right now.
Well, while you and I and Ken Burns and most of us treasure the national parks, one of the problems is our federal government doesn't seem to treasure them too much. The budget for the national parks last year was $3 billion, which sounds like a lot. But that budget is 0.4% of the United States military budget. So on a proportional level, we don't seem as a government to care too much about the national parks. And there are a number of attacks on the national parks that come from within our government, from the Interior Department and from Congress. I'll just give one example that I think is particularly iconic. Theodore Roosevelt was a cowboy for a while before he became governor of New York in North Dakota and had a ranch, and he got in gunfights and things. And that ranch became Theodore Roosevelt National Park. It's in North Dakota. Last week, an oil company began building an oil refinery 3 miles from the border of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. I can't imagine a more iconic threat to the national parks than threatening the park that was the home of our greatest conservationist, Theodore Roosevelt.
And what is the danger? You know, 3 miles, so somebody might say, well, it's 3 miles away. It's not in the park. So why should we be concerned?
Well, there'll be pipelines to that refinery, and both the refinery and the pipelines will leak. Those infrastructure always leak. And 3 miles is enough to get into the aquifer that is in that region. It's far from the only attack on the national parks. The House of Representatives in Congress last year voted to permit oil and gas drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which is home to a massive caribou herd, polar bears, wolves, and over 200 species of migratory birds. It's been protected for 40 years. There is also the recent decision by the Interior Department and the President to reduce the size of Bears Ears National Monument, which was created 2 years ago, which contains thousands of Native American artifacts, a decision to reduce the size of Bears Ears National Monument by 95%.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobrow. And this evening, my guest is Donald Miles, a semi-retired land use and environmental law attorney. He's also the elected chairperson of the Lehigh Valley Sierra Club. And we're talking about what's going to happen to our national parks, and perhaps is there something we can do about it. So go ahead, Don.
Well, as I said, these decisions have mostly been made by the Interior Department. And you might wonder, well, who's the head of the Interior Department? Why does he allow such things? Well, Secretary Zinke, I'll just give you a couple points about him. First is he does not believe in climate change. He forced the retirement of Superintendent Dan Wenk of Yellowstone. The Yellowstone superintendent job is the most prestigious job in the National Park Service. He was prematurely forced into retirement because he was acting too strongly to protect Yellowstone. Secretary Zinke believes in something called clean coal, which doesn't exist. and he frequently urges mining and oil and natural gas drilling on federal lands. So that's where these decisions are coming from.
You mean he is in favor of drilling in the national park area?
Not in national parks, but in other federal lands. He is in favor of reducing and eliminating some of the national monuments, which are similar to national parks. They don't have quite as many legal protections. But he's from Montana, and he believes that what he calls tying up federal lands from development, by which he means mining and drilling and timbering, is a bad use of the land. It's a very strange philosophy of someone who's the Secretary of the Interior and in charge of the national parks.
So he really is in favor of what they call, what I guess would be free-for-all, and allowing anybody to come in and maybe auction off the land if the states are in favor of that.
He and some of the other folks in the current administration and in Congress are in favor of turning over lots of acreage of federal lands to the states, which doesn't sound too bad until you realize that many states are beholden to mining and drilling and timbering interests. So if these federal lands became state lands, they would wind up being developed and would no longer be preserved.
That would be a tremendous loss to all of us, whether we can visit them or not, but just knowing that they're out there. I know that we've certainly had a marvelous experience in appreciating the beautiful land, the beautiful country that we are living in, and the wonderful environment that is being protected. And it's very worrisome to think that this might go away if we are not thoughtful about what we can do to protect this.
My family and I have enjoyed the national parks for many years. My son, Stephen, and I went on a cross-country trip years ago and saw many of the national parks. My late wife and I went to Yosemite, and it has become for me one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Interestingly enough, it was closed yesterday because of a wildfire. The wildfires in the West are greatly increasing because of climate change.
And we're going to talk more about the national parks, what the federal government is planning, and what we can do to protect and preserve the national parks for not only ourselves, but our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all that come after us when we return to take charge of our lives on WDIY.
In 2018, WDIY is celebrating 23 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening we're talking with Don Miles, a semi-retired land use and environmental law attorney who is the elected chairperson of the Lehigh Valley Sierra Club. He's also an elected delegate to the board of directors of the Pennsylvania Sierra Club and Pennsylvania's delegate to the annual National Sierra Club Council. And tonight we're talking about a very unusual and provocative topic, the idea of our national parks being available to not only us, but to future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. But there seems to be a threat on the horizon, Don. Can you help us share more about that?
Well, there are a lot of industry-funded efforts to turn over federal public lands to state governments. So far, not any national parks. But the federal government owns millions and millions of acres of other public lands that are protected, national forests, national wildlife refuges, and there's industry-funded attempts to allow oil and gas drilling, mining, and timbering in these areas.
Don, you know, I mentioned this to a friend of mine, and his response was, look, there's so much acreage in the national park, so what if we turn over a few thousand acres? So what's so big? What's a terrible thing? We still have lots left. What are we being so concerned about? There's plenty of acreage left, so we give over 20,000 acres or so to industry. What's wrong with that?
Well, the preserved land that the federal government manages is a very small percentage of the total amount of vacant land. If you've been out west, it's a big country, and there is plenty of land to do things like timbering and mining and drilling. The lands that are protected for our children and our grandchildren. Many of the national monuments, for example, have been created at the urging of local communities and tribal nations to protect areas that are particularly important to them. So when you hear that that there are efforts to eliminate or reduce the size of national monuments, those national monuments came from the local people urging the federal government to do it. Also, there was a survey put out by Interior Secretary Zinke about his plans to reduce the size or eliminate national monuments. And 99% of the public comments he received said, don't do it. The national parks and the national monuments are very popular. They're also good for the economy. Outdoor recreation, primarily in these areas, generates about $1 billion of consumer spending and creates over 8 million jobs. So they're not just pretty places to look at. They're good for the community. And they belong to all Americans, and they shouldn't be utilized just by a few to make money. There are great expanses of the country that are not part of our national parks or national monuments that are available for people who want to make money. We need to preserve some parts of the country because of their beauty, because of the animals and plants there, and have something for our grandchildren. I have two grandsons. I would like them to be able to visit our national parks and our national monuments that are properly staffed. As I think I mentioned, there has been a freeze on national park rangers hiring. And since some retire, we're having fewer and fewer rangers. As you said, and as my family has enjoyed, going to the national parks is one of the greatest things you can do during your summer vacation. And to preserve that land is something that went all the way back, as we said earlier, to Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt, who were not very wild-eyed, crazy people.
Now, let's talk about what we can do, because this is a concern. I would like to know that the Grand Tetons are going to be available to my children or great-grandchildren or to anybody's great-grandchildren. But what we're talking about is the erosion and the care of and the maintaining of these national parks. So what can we do if we are interested and we want to tell people that this is not what we want. We want to protect our national parks, our national forests. What can we do, Don?
Well, one thing we can do is exercise our rights as citizens and contact the government. At the moment, as most folks know, we do not have a member of Congress because of a resignation. We'll have a new one in January. But the House of Representatives is the source of a lot of these attacks. So in the meantime, without a congressperson in the Lehigh Valley, you could contact Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader of the House, and tell her that you're interested. In the Senate, Senator Casey already is on record as opposed to these attacks on the national parks, but you could contact Senator Toomey's office and tell Senator Toomey that you want the national parks to be properly funded and you don't want the national monuments to be shrunk or eliminated. And on a non-governmental level, if you want to get involved as a citizen, you could contact the two organizations that are doing the most to fight these changes. Both of these organizations have brought lawsuits to stop them, and they have been very active for many, many years preserving the national parks. The first is the National Parks Conservation Association, which is a nonprofit organization whose sole purpose is to protect the national parks and national lands. And they're at npca.org. And I have to put in a plug for the Sierra Club, since the Sierra Club, as I mentioned earlier, was responsible for creating our second national park, Yosemite. It was also responsible for creating the Grand Canyon National Park. Mm-hmm. And you can contact the Sierra Club at sierraclub.org, sierraclub.org. If you decide to join the Sierra Club for $25, it's a threefer. You become a member of the National Sierra Club, you become a member of the Pennsylvania Sierra Club, and you become a member of the Lehigh Valley Sierra Club that I am privileged to be the chairperson for.
Well, you know, at least it provides us some action, some way of making our voices heard. And each of us will have to choose if we want to have our voices heard or whether we want to just let things happen. But when I consider the beauty of, we mentioned the Grand Canyon, for example. There are tours that take you down into the canyon. And you also have the opportunity to meet with tribal tribes there who will entertain and explore Mount Rainier in the state of Washington, where Mount Rainier is the most beautiful sight that one can experience. It overwhelms you. To me, it reminded me of what the Israelites must have felt in the desert, when they came upon a mountain in their area. It is a very wonderful experience, and it would be difficult to imagine a world where this was taken away, not completely all at one time, but little by little, eroding the beauty of our national parks. So what is there anything else that we can do, Dawn?
Well, we can visit them and support them. I like to think about that phrase that Ken Burns mentioned, America's best idea. There weren't any national parks anywhere in the world until we started Yellowstone and Yosemite and Grand Canyon and all the other Grand Tetons, all the other national parks. And since we had that great idea, we need to work to keep it. As I said earlier, no one who supports the national parks and the national monuments is opposed to development. But we don't have to mine for uranium in the Grand Canyon. We don't have to drill for oil in Yellowstone. There are plenty of other places to do that. This is a legacy to our children and our grandchildren, and we can visit them. We can contact the government, as I mentioned earlier. We can join organizations that are fighting the attacks on the national park. One of the things you could ask for is, I heard that we're only spending 0.25% of the military budget on the national parks. Maybe we should spend a little more on something like the national parks.
And give us again some of the addresses and places that we can connect with, so that people, if you're listening and you feel you want to take action or do something, Don, give us some of those places again.
Well, first of all, as I said, contact Senator Toomey's office. You could also contact Senator Casey's office and thank him for opposing these attacks on the national park. And you can join the two organizations that are doing the most, bringing lawsuits and advocating in Congress to not shrink our national parks or national monuments. And those are the National Parks Conservation Association, npca.org on the web, and the Sierra Club at sierraclub.org. Neither of those organizations are political, but defending America's best idea is not political.
Well, I think that's very well said. Say that again, Don.
As Ken Burns said, the national parks are America's best idea. Defending them is not a Republican or a Democratic idea. It's an American idea.
I think that's beautifully said. And each of us has to make a decision as to whether we want to be passive and just let it happen and say, oh my, or whether we want to take action so that we can actually make an attempt to preserve these beautiful national parks. If you haven't been to any of them, it's a wonderful opportunity to see and to appreciate what we have in our country. And it's important that each of us make a decision in some way to take charge of our lives by understanding that if we don't, the national parks will be eroded and a wonderful resource and a wonderful treasure might be eliminated from our possibility of exploration. So I want to thank you, Don Miles, semi-retired land use and environmental law attorney and chairperson of the Lehigh Valley Sierra Club, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that if we want to have our national parks available to our children, to our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, we need to take action. And one of these actions, again, is to contact our representatives in Congress, our local state representatives, by writing to them, calling them, and letting them know that we want Congress to restore funding for our national parks, and to also take action about giving permission for industrial companies to utilize the land for industrial purposes. Because once that's done, what happens to our land, Don?
That's right. Industrialization of wildlands is often irreversible. It can create pollution that doesn't go away, heavy metals and other things that get into the groundwater. And as I said before, it's a big country. If you've been out west, there's lots of places to do development. We don't have to drill Yellowstone or mine the Grand Canyon.
And so you really need to take action and think for yourselves what it is that you want to have as an inheritance for your children. And I want to thank you again, Don Miles, for helping us to understand what's at stake as we consider how to take charge of our lives on WDIY. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.